want the Republicans to wake up is... The Republican Party right now is not led by conservatives. There's a population out there that has to be told the truth. We have to. Do it live!
Now, from the Left Coast, it's another podcast edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is curious, opinionated, and relentless in pursuit of the truth like a honeybee drawn to pollen. He's an independent progressive, ready to sting Republicans and Democrats alike when they deserve it. After years in commercial radio, Peter B. welcomes you to this audio adventure in news and politics with no corporate filter. Listeners support this program, and you can help at peterbcollins.com. Here's your humble host, Peter B.
Thanks for downloading the very latest in-depth interview podcast from peterbcollins.com. Again today, we venture down south to Alabama and take a look at the cesspool of politics and justice in that state, where the sitting governor, Robert Bentley, has just been exposed for having an affair with a top staff member. They both claim it's a non-physical relationship, but it busted up the governor's 50-year marriage. And Roger Schuler, the intrepid blogger at legalschnauzer.blogspot.com, is one of the people who broke the story last year. And about 9 days after he broke the story, he and his wife Carol were evicted from an apartment hundreds of miles away in Springfield, Missouri. And the deputies brutally broke Carol's arm in an unnecessary scuffle. Was it payback for his reporting? We don't know. But we're going to explore the Bentley scandal, and it's a bit of a romp when you see how stupid they were, but it's also very painful to see what happened to Roger Schuler for being a journalist who has told the truth. I want to thank the people who support my work here at the Peter B. Collins Podcast with your subscriptions. People like, Pauline Nixon, Keith Hull, Multitask Man, and Catherine Hemnes just renewed her annual subscription. Thank you, one and all. I invite you to come to peterbcollins.com, click the menu button, and then you click Become a Subscriber, and you can choose $5, $10, $20 a month. And with our $50 annual subscription for a new subscriber in the continental U.S., I've got bonus books, three titles you can choose from, and they're listed on the sign-up page at peterbcollins.com. Journalist Roger Schuler returns to the Peter B. Collins Podcast today. She ain't your ordinary, she ain't your ordinary girl. Our subject today is no ordinary girl. Rebecca Caldwell Mason has cozied up to the governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley. And it is widely known across the state there that they've been carrying on. But we're all relieved to learn from the governor and from his alleged mistress that they have never had a physical affair. I mean, this is like Bill Clinton saying, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." And I always try to set up a conversation with Roger Schuler with a tune from or about Alabama, and that's the country band Alabama, She Ain't Your Ordinary Girl. Roger, welcome back to the PBC podcast.
Well, thank you, Peter. Always good to talk with you, and always something interesting going on in Alabama, seems like.
Well, I mean, you know, we have talked about this in the past, and it never ceases to amaze me as an observer who's never actually touched the soil of the great state of Alabama that the cesspool continues to spawn new critters and new slime. And I am just astounded by what has been confirmed of the reporting that you began last August. And it's broken into a national story. Rachel Maddow's been covering this on MSDNC pretty much in depth. Of course, she hasn't given credit to Roger Schuler yet, but you're getting credit in the Alabama media. And first and foremost, this is vindication for you and the credible work that you have done as a journalist. And it's something that's very important to me because I've supported you through your trials and tribulations, and I've always had confidence in your work. And each time you disclosed another family values politician who was involved in a sexual affair or some of these other escapades, it makes people like me a little uncomfortable, Roger. But you have been vindicated in every case that you have covered.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Peter, and that is the case. This is the most obvious case of what you might call vindication, but story of Rob Riley and Liberty Duke, which is what caused me, or at least on the surface, is what caused me to be thrown in jail for 5 months. My reporting as a matter of law has been proven nothing but accurate. I mean, they never proved defamation or false reporting in the same with the story I did on a woman named Jessica Garrison and her relationship to the current Attorney General, Luther Strange.
And he's going to, Luther.
You can also throw in the Bill Pryor gay porn story, Bill Pryor being a sitting federal judge appointed by George W. Bush. And the funny thing is, I started the blog in 2007, and until 2013, I don't remember ever writing anything about a sexual scandal, but since 2013, it's been a pretty regular topic for us.
I just want to underscore that Attorney General Luther Strange, who is no stranger to accusations of infidelity, he's going to investigate the governor and his physical or non-physical relationship with Rebecca Mason, her outsized role as an advisor. She's basically been running the state as the governor's paramour. And these are fascinating soap opera. We should just move Downton Abbey to Alabama and change the accents and the costumes a little bit.
That's true. I mean, it just like people have said for years, you just can't make this stuff up. And I certainly couldn't. And one of I'm sure you've heard this before, Peter, but any reporter is only as good as his sources. And I've been fortunate to have very good sources on all of these stories. And they're not, it's a variety of sources. It's not all the same person or same group of people. But one thing I've found is that the people who think they're getting away with this, they're not very good at hiding it. And a lot of people are in the know about it and have details. And I try to be very careful about how I report these things. I just, as an example, on the Rob Riley story, I mentioned that he's the son of the former governor, Bob Riley, who was the guy who, quote unquote, beat Don Siegelman. Who?
How about the word?
2002.
Let's use the word displaced.
Pardon me.
Let's use the word displaced. He displaced Governor Siegelman.
Displaced, yeah, that would be a better term. But I worked, I didn't work full time on it, but over more than a year passed from when I first heard about the Rob Riley story to when I actually published it. So, a lot goes into these things, and although the Bentley story broke pretty quickly and was driven largely by the fact that his wife, Diane Bentley, the first lady of Alabama, filed for divorce after 50 years of marriage, and that's what really caused last August for the story to really come to the front then.
And the smoking gun that surfaced last week is this audio recording that Diane Bentley, we now know, she recorded her then-husband with her cell phone. She took a walk on the beach and left her phone recording and picked up his side of this Sweet Nothings conversation with Rebecca Mason. And her release of that tape, you know, in the same 24-hour time frame as his bizarre denials, with the bizarre apology, which wasn't very explicit, just left him, I think, spinning and looking childish and stupid. So, Roger, I don't expect you to disclose your original source for this, but did you have an inkling that there was an audio recording? And did the first tips that you get, that you got last summer, give you confidence that there was evidence that would surface to support the information that was delivered to you?
No, I did not know anything about an audio recording. Mm-hmm. When I originally reported the story, and no one mentioned it at all. My impression is that the audio recording component of this has almost come from what you might say the conservative side of the political spectrum in Alabama. And I have a lot of conservative readers, and some of my sources are quite conservative and, mm-hmm. and Republicans. But in this particular instance, no, I didn't know about any audio recordings until that story broke last week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So let's just recap for listeners who may not have followed your coverage at Legal Schnauzer, who may not have seen any of the reporting to date. But Governor Bentley has been close to Rebecca Caldwell Mason for some time. And as he pivoted to run for his second term in 2014, she shifted from a government job to the campaign. And then she didn't come back to a government job. She was some sort of a special advisor, and he created a foundation to basically accept dark money contributions, and that nonprofit apparently has been used to pay a salary to Mason for at least the last year and a half. Is that generally what you think is true?
Right. It's called it's a nonprofit that a gentleman named Cooper Shattuck, who was one of Bentley's legal advisors. He set it up, and he since has left the administration is now head of the Office of Counsel at the University of Alabama, my former employer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bit of a sketchy character himself, from what my sources tell me. So it's called ACE-Gov for short, and one of the really many still unanswered questions about all this is where did the money come from to go into ACE-Gov? It's supposedly was started with excess campaign funds from the Bentley administration.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of thought that there's some corporate entities involved and so we'll, you know, that's one of the real interesting stories. There are a number of sidebar stories to this that could get very interesting.
Well, indeed. It is not simply about whether or not they got naked and did the nasty. That's not really our concern. But this relationship seems to have overshadowed Bentley's role as the elected governor. And much like what happened to, I think his name was Kitzhaber, the governor of Oregon, who resigned under fire because a woman, he wasn't even alleged to be in a sexual relationship with her. I don't know all those details. Let me not be incorrect by saying that. But at any rate, there was a lot of opposition, and people raised their voices, and he resigned as governor of Oregon because this woman had basically gained excessive power, and a lot of people were upset about that. So there's a parallel between Oregon and Alabama in that respect. But also, he recently fired his top law enforcement official. He was Secretary of Alabama Law Enforcement, Spencer Collier. And Collier is one of the people who went public in the last week or so and gave a lengthy news conference where he really unloaded on the governor and described how he had been made privy to some text messages that showed that it wasn't a business relationship between Bentley and Caldwell. So, any effort to intimidate the people who became aware of this in order to keep them quiet, those all are, potential criminal acts. And we're really confident that an upstanding guy like Luther Strange is going to fully investigate this. And since he apparently is experienced in navigating multiple relationships at the same time, maybe he has that Ashley Madison insight into what Bentley and Mason have been up to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of irony in him possibly being involved. And then on the federal side, the U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Alabama now is a man named George Beck. Of course, at one time it was the infamous Lura Canary, who is of the Siegelman trial mm-hmm. fame. And George Beck has been like, almost like a mannequin or a corpse. I mean, it's just like, you think, where is this guy? What's he doing? And he hasn't seemingly done anything. Pretty much pushed on the Obama administration by, I guess, what you might call dinos in Alabama, Democrats in name only. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few of those. And specifically people like Arthur Davis, yeah. the former congressman mm-hmm. who has seen his political career go up in flames, is one. So it's just hard to imagine either Luther Strange or George Beck actually doing any sort of decent investigation, but we'll see what happens, but mm-hmm. it's not a very impressive crew at this point.
Now, the declaration by the governor last week that this was not a physical affair just seems, just like bullshit. That the only way I can characterize it. And yeah. Now we have a statement from Mason that she made, and I see her reporting. A report here at AL.com today, and I'm speaking on March 29th. Let me correct myself. I just read the fine print here. This denial by Caldwell was published on the 25th. She said that, I have never had a physical affair with Robert Bentley. We have a professional relationship and a strong friendship. I am honored to serve alongside a great team as Governor Bentley's senior political advisor. I plan to continue in that role, and I look forward to the opportunities our team has to make our state stronger. Oh, wow. she is a spin doctor. We can give her credit for that. But these denials, simply melt away when you confront them with the audio recording that the spurned 50-year wife made and has made public.
Well, yeah, I mean, it talks about the governor, fondling her breast and putting his hands in her nether regions, and there have been several different. There's sort of a short version, a medium version, and a long version, apparently, of these recordings. And I think yesterday one of the long versions came out, and Bentley was heard saying something to the effect that somebody had seen him. He was in his boxer shorts, but he said, "You've seen that already." Talking to Miss Mason, so you know, it's just I don't see how any person with three brain cells could believe those denials, and they're just and they've already proven to lie umpteen times about. I think Bentley was quoted, I guess, after my initial story came out that the whole, you know, the allegations were quote-unquote ridiculous, I think. So, you know, these aren't people with a track record of telling the truth, and I don't know how they think, you know, whether they had a and I guess by physical relationship, they mean intercourse. If they did everything but that, I guess it seems to be what they're saying. How that makes it any not an affair, I don't know. But
well, that just seems silly to me. Because if you're going to go to the trouble of busting up a 50-year marriage, and Mason has a husband still and three kids. You know, you may as well go all the way and have as much fun as you can, because you're probably going to pay a price for it. Any kind of self-control or abstinence that they want to brag about is really trivial and beside the point at this stage.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this. This is just a little Roger's amateur psychology here, Peter.
All right.
And you've heard some of this, my attempts at this before, but I just get the feeling that it's like there's this little weird world in certain conservative circles where normal human reason and just doesn't apply, and I think. Part of that may be the church and religion component to it, that they seem to be playing to that crowd by saying, hey, you know, we talk dirty to each other, but we're so disciplined, and our Lord wouldn't let us go any further. But apparently they think that plays to a certain group of people that don't really think like normal people, maybe, at least in my opinion.
Well, I think it's and I'll be an amateur psych here for a second, too. I think it's more of a schizophrenic thing where they're able to separate their public religiosity from their private dirty behavior. And I'm not calling it dirty. That's the way I think they think. And so let's take, for example, Ted Cruz. You know, the National Enquirer unloaded with five bimbos, including one who has been identified as a top staffer on the Carly Fiorina for President campaign. And we have that transfer of $500,000 in the summer of 2015 from the Cruz campaign to the Fiorina campaign, and nobody has ever explained that. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz just goes sputtering along in full denial mode, and, you know, I'm sure many of his staunch supporters believe him and not the National Enquirer. But the Enquirer has a perfect batting average when it comes to exposing political sex scandals. And maybe they got it wrong this time, but I have a hard time believing that their lawyers didn't demand that this be pretty well substantiated before they published it. You know, the ability of these people to just stay in a public denial about what they consider to be private acts or private matters, it happens until it all just blows up, and then they're left standing there with their genitals exposed.
to put it mildly, and I think the woman who's like Trump's chief spokesperson, hasn't she also allegedly been involved with Ted Cruz?
That's right. Yeah.
I can't think. Katrina Pearson, I think, is her name. And if she appears on all the evening shows. Of course, she's denied any involvement. Cruz immediately blamed Trump. And I'm not a a big Trump fan, but I think Trump was probably being honest with me. You know, heck, I didn't do this or what have you. But it's national, it's regional, it's state, really makes you wonder how any government work gets done.
One more tidbit on this link between Fiorina and Cruz campaigns. I just read an item a couple of hours ago that the picture of Melania Trump, it's not a nude photo, but she has no clothes on, that was circulated and caused the Donald to tweet a threat to Cruz that he was going to dish dirt on Cruz's wife, Heidi. This all occurred right before the National Enquirer dropped its bomb. And what has been determined is that the super PAC that ran the ad with the Melania Trump picture is linked to Carly Fiorina. And it was they thought they had it all submerged and darked out, but they used a P.O. box for the super PAC that ran the Melania Trump picture, and it's the same P.O. box that they had used for Carly for America. So that's circumstantial, but it's pretty strong. And that's it just shows the tentacles of these campaigns and their desperate efforts to use depth charges instead of, you know, frontal assaults to kill their opponents.
And Peter, by the way, I'm impressed with your knowledge of this stuff. I mean, you're making me look like an amateur here.
Well,
I guess the story is that Fiorina is trying to help Cruz.
To stop Trump. Now, I want to come back to the sleaze in Alabama here, because the one detail that I picked up in the show file for this podcast, Roger, I'm going to link to Brandon Mosley's piece at the Alabama Political Reporter. And in 8 or 9 pages, he recaps the failures of Governor Bentley and runs essentially a timeline of the last couple of years that helps people, particularly like me, who don't know all of the players and the roles in Alabama, get a pretty clear picture of what's been going on and just what a failed governor he is, in addition to being a pretty bad adulterer. But this tidbit that just got my attention is a quote here. Mason's husband, John Mason, heads the governor's faith-based initiatives office and is paid $92,000 a year. Now, that makes him a non-physical cuckold, right?
I guess so.
Does he handle the front while Bentley's squeezing the back?
I don't know. His background is as a TV weatherman.
Oh, great.
in Tuscaloosa. And then somehow that qualified him for this position, which, as I understand it, essentially is administering AmeriCorps in Alabama, which, of course, was started by Bill Clinton.
Right.
And I wrote a post last fall, and this is all straight from public records, that between the two Masons, the Mr. Mason and Mrs. Mason, that they had made right at $1 million off the Bentley administration. And I think it was exactly like $982,000 or something. And that comes in a variety of ways. Some of it was, she has a company called RCM Communications that did, I guess, some advertising or PR work. And then, like you say, she's been, at one point she was a state employee, and then she wasn't. And now it seems she's paid by this dark money nonprofit. But his salary, I think he's been a state employee throughout this time period. And it's pretty easy to see what he's, what he's made. And, but they both have done quite well.
And Roger, my memory of some of these sex scandals does fade, but I'm reminded that just about 8, maybe 9 years ago, there was a senator, I think he was from Arizona, real wealthy guy, and he was shtupping a woman on his staff, and he got his parents to pay off her husband to keep him quiet. Do you remember that one?
You know, I it's kind of vague. I think so. But you know, there's so many, it's just impossible. Just in the state of Louisiana alone, you know, between Vitter and Livingston and
right.
and Alabama's catching up with them. And this was a congressman from Arizona?
He was a senator.
Senator?
Yeah. Oh. I've just entered the search terms, Senator Arizona and sex scandal here. Let's see if I can find it. Anyway, it came to mind because, you know, some of the same kind of triangular mechanisms were at play. And let's see. List of federal political scandals. I'm going to find this thing. I'm just determined to. There's too much information on my screen. Well, I will look up the facts there and put it into the show file for this podcast so I don't leave listeners dangling. But Roger,
okay.
Even as we can laugh about some of this at the expense of these buffoons and these hypocritical, right-wing, pandering Republicans, there's a real dark side to this. And what has been disclosed, and this comes from the Alabama Political Reporter, and you cited it in your blog post on March 28th, and that is that Governor Bentley, in his effort to keep the secrets and to punish people who might reveal those secrets, he pressured law enforcement officers to use federal and state resources to target people critical of his relationship with Mason. In an effort to find potentially damaging information on those who spoke out against the couple, Bentley instructed top law enforcement agents to investigate private citizens, and one of them is you, Roger. And two individuals with detailed knowledge of the incident say that Bentley ordered the use of the National Crime Information Center and the Law Enforcement Tactical System to find any incriminating evidence that might be used against attorney Don Watkins and legal schnauzer blogger Roger Shuler. Now, this is where it becomes really problematic, and we see that a governor is able to access the expansive law enforcement powers that were put into place after 9/11. And we're all told that the Patriot Act is there to protect us from dangerous terrorists. But what I argue is the vertical integration of law enforcement allows a governor to tap into databases and to use it for retaliation, for illegal ways of trying to intimidate or punish political opponents. And this is the scary part of police state operations that can spin way out of control depending on who happens to hold an office like governor of Alabama. And to see this used against you raises important questions because, as my listeners know, last summer, despite the fact that you left Alabama after having your home foreclosed, you and your wife, Carol, were evicted from an apartment in Springfield, Missouri. And the sheriff himself came to supervise the eviction, which is way, you know, out of the ordinary. And he basically, you know, authorized or was a witness to this deputy that, without provocation, grabbed your wife, Carol, and brutalized her so badly that one of her arms was shattered in multiple places. And as you have described in the blog, she's had surgeries, trauma surgeries, and she will likely never get the full function of her arm back. And so it's not inconceivable that Governor Bentley unleashed forces that somehow were, you know, transferred to Missouri with a signal to go get the Shulers and teach them a lesson. And, I'm speculating. I want to be very clear about that. But it is not beyond the pale. And when we have seen the way that Bentley has tried to cover up his tracks, I think that it is conceivable that this was part of the effort to silence Roger Shuler.
Well, that's one of the big questions that came to my mind shortly after I got over being dumbfounded. It's one thing I found. It's a different thing when you read about somebody being targeted that you don't know by, nefarious forces. But when you read the article and it gets down and it says your name, that you're the one, it throws you. And even in a state as sleazy as Alabama, I didn't think, Robert Bentley is he's a Bible thumper and a former or dermatologist, not former. He is a doctor. And then you just think, surely to goodness, he's not, capable of stooping that low. But to drive the point home to your listener, for your listeners, in terms of time frame, I broke and wrote the original story about the Bentley Rebecca Mason affair on August 31st,
mm-hmm.
2015, and we had an eviction scheduled for September 9th, 2015, basically 9 or 10 days. And Carol and I, like I'm not going to say she's a dunce, but I've had this, I'm still this dunce that thinks that the law is actually going to be followed. So I always read up on it and do what I think I'm supposed to do, and it never works. But we filed a notice of appeal, which under Missouri law puts an automatic stay on an eviction. And so, we thought, well, we've done what we should do. There's no way they're going to come today on the 9th. And then they did anyway. And not only came, but, came in with a key, came into our apartment with an assault rifle and handguns drawn. There must have been at least 6 to 8 weapons, but I had a assault weapon of some sort pointed right between my eyeballs, and this is for a rent, supposedly a rent issue, and so one of the questions I've asked is, why do these people that a sheriff's office, they are this kind of thing, evictions, foreclosure, that's part of what sheriffs do all around the country, I think, in every state. I think that needs to be revisited, and there should be some better way to do it. But they have no excuse for not knowing the law. And it was a matter of public record that we had filed an appeal. I notified every attorney who was involved, one of whom was my brother. My mind goes exactly where yours goes, Peter. It is, was this done at the direction of people in Alabama? Was that why the sheriff himself was there? And I wonder, did somebody even say, hey, rough one of them up,
mm-hmm.
or both of them up? And my guess would be that the plan was to rough me up, but I'd already been in jail once. I'd already been roughed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they, were planning to get me and just happened to get Carol first. I mean, all she was trying to do was get our cat's litter box, and which she'd been told she could get some of our, I guess as much of our personal belongings as we could get in our car.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're talking vicious stuff here. I mean, her arm, I've run the x-ray umpteen times on my blog if people are interested. It's just, just like a bone just being just snapped in two, and how it didn't go through the skin, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the medical professionals immediately said, this is not a case that an orthopedist can handle. This is a trauma case, kind of like you'd see in a car wreck or something,
yeah.
the kind of broken bone you'd see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and let me just clarify on the timeline, because Diane Bentley sued for divorce at the end of August, and you published your first item about the Bentley affair on what date?
On August 31st.
Mm-hmm. And then it was... Then the eviction occurred on September...
On September 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, if you there's a website called case.net where Missouri keeps its online records, mm-hmm. Court records, and you can look up the case. It's Trent Coward, Cowherd. He was the landlord versus Roger Schuler. And it shows that we had had a hearing, I think, on the 27th regarding this attempted eviction. And we knew it had been ruled against us. But under the law, the key date is not the date of the hearing, but when the order is actually entered.
Mm-hmm.
And the record shows it was entered on August 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, from August 31st, we had 10 days to file an appeal if we so desired. And it wasn't free. I mean, we had to pay, for us, significant money. I think it was $80 or $70 something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we were taking it seriously and trying to do the right thing. And we had they were violating the lease. I mean, we had an absolute case of wrongful eviction. And one of the things that we just have wondered about ever since that day that Carol's arm was broken and we were thrown on the streets, and I was looking, Carol was in jail, I thought, and she wound up being in the hospital because her arm was broken, and our cat and I were homeless. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. We went to a park that I sort of grew up at as a kid, mainly because it was extremely hot and the park has a lot of trees, and mm-hmm. and I just needed to find a place where there's some trees and shade so our little kitty cat wouldn't keel over of heat stroke. Mm-hmm. And but it's a pretty sobering experience to see your wife one minute hauled off to jail, and then next thing you know, you don't have anywhere to go. I didn't even have any shoes. And these people that did the eviction, I still don't have a pair of pants. I don't have a pair of pants. I don't have a real shirt with a collar on it. I don't have anything. I mean, I don't have a coat. All that was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, I mean, the implications of all this are profound. And the effect it's had on us emotionally and mentally, we had already been diagnosed with PTSD mm-hmm. before this ever happened, from the foreclosure and the jailing and all that in Alabama. But then to have this thrown on top of it, it kind of boggles the mind. And
and again, I'm speculating here, but Roger, if the collective forces who you have offended by your honest coverage of the cesspool of Alabama politics and criminal justice, if they sat down over an expensive dinner one night and said, "We got to fix this Schuler problem. What do you got? What do you got?" And, you've got some pretty powerful people there, the Rileys, Strange, Judge Pryor, and now Governor Bentley. And when you look at the favors that they could call in quietly, all right, hey, this has to be done without any fingerprints. I mean, we know this dialogue from watching movies. And so it's not too hard with winks and nods and calling in favors to get, the impact that we see. And again, I can only speculate here. I can't see cause. I can only see the effect. But we certainly know the motive that exists to put these efforts into motion.
Well, absolutely. In the recent Bill Britt is the writer who wrote the article about Bentley targeting both me and Donald Watkins. Watkins is a very successful attorney. I don't know if he actually practices law much anymore, but he's gone into has a number of business interests, banking and so forth. And I feel pretty sure Donald Watkins has the capabilities of protecting himself pretty well against something like that. But for me and Carol,
well, but Watkins describes, or is it him, or there's somebody who describes how he has been subject to unnecessary audits. Is that right. Watkins, or is that another guy?
I think that's Watkins.
Here it is. It's Bill Britt writing that Watkins has been receiving special attention from the governor. I knew he was targeting me. He targeted him in 2013 using bank regulators. We came under excessive regulatory review and are still under excessive regulatory review. In 14, Bentley asked the Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate Watkins' businesses, even though they're not under SEC jurisdiction. He has paid a price. He's still apparently got both of his arms intact, but the governor has...
Well, absolutely, and for what it's worth, Donald Watkins happens to be black, and that raises, just is Bentley a racist or what?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what Watkins' political affiliation is. I assume he's probably a Democrat more than a Republican, but I've been a pretty outspoken liberal, which is a dangerous thing to be in Alabama or Missouri, mm-hmm. for that
yeah.
matter,
right.
apparently. In a way, I think back, Peter, to the famous Obama quote of, after he'd been elected but hadn't quite taken office yet, saying, I'm going to look forward and not backward. This is the downside of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had, and the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, they had an obligation to investigate all that Bush and Rove-related sleaze.
Right.
From 2000 to 2008, and which, of course, led to most famously Don Siegelman still being in federal prison,
mm-hmm.
and Obama just let it go, and things like this, what's happening to Carol and me, keep on they just keep on going.
Right.
These people think they can get away with it because Obama basically has said, yeah, you can get away with it, and so I put some blame on his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
even though I voted for him twice. But
I think that's fair.
And I think that's one reason my wife doesn't like hearing me say this, because she's a big Hillary person, but I think that's the reason Bernie Sanders, because he seems like an outsider, a lot of people with strong progressive feelings are kind of sick of this whatever you want to call it, moderate Democrat approach,
mm-hmm.
whether you're a banker on Wall Street or a corrupt judge or whatever, you just get away with stuff. And so anyway, there's just a lot of frustrations that I've had that Obama said that.
Yeah.
Back in whatever year it was now, 2008, I guess.
2009 is when he took office and said, yeah.
Yeah, January, I think, of 2009, right.
And you and I have discussed this before. I think it was a veiled call for obstruction of justice. And I can't countenance it in any way, whether it's applied to Wall Street criminals or war criminals or torturers or people who illegally conducted surveillance on Americans. All of that has been given a complete pass by President Obama, and we will pay a price if there is a President Trump who will use those powers. And, you know, I mean, Trump has already shown what kind of a bully he is. Just take, for example, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. He said, well, I think he's a great guy, and if he's not, you know, he'll pay a price for it. And because Ryan has issued veiled criticisms of Trump, Trump is now staging a rally in Ryan's district. And this just kind of shows the tit-for-tat mentality that Trump plays with. And if you give him authority over the Justice Department, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the fusion centers of the Department of Homeland Security, and you believe that those won't be used for political payback, I mean, we have created some monsters here that people were okay with because they trusted Obama. I don't think that was appropriate, but that's the way many people have thought about it. And as we look forward, and I share your concerns about another President Clinton, even the Hillary version, because of her devotion to state security. She's an anti-whistleblower person. She thinks that Ed Snowden is a traitor. And so, you know, those issues are pretty clear and I think pretty well identified for people. So, Roger, in wrapping up, I just want to note what you said about, you know, that even almost, 7 months after your eviction, you're still struggling every day and you don't even have a decent set of clothing. And I want to encourage my listeners to go to legalschnauzer.blogspot.com and hit the PayPal button there. And whatever you can do, $5 or $500 would be very welcome to help the Shulers. And, you know, again, I believe that this is important vindication for you, Roger. It's also, you know, wrapped up in pain and tragedy for you as well. But you have continued to doggedly pursue your work. You have not accepted the message that they sent you. And I applaud you for that. And I love you for it. And it's something that is so rare to see in America today because lesser men would have caved in a long time ago. And so you have my undying respect for your dedication to the work that you do.
Well, I appreciate it, Peter. And I might add, though, that once you lose your house of 25 years and you've been thrown in jail and you know, the more they take from you, the less you have to lose by fighting back. And really, in my mind, you really have no alternative at some point after they keep, you know, they take your career from you. In my case, I mean, I don't know that I could get a job right now, hardly anywhere, with a criminal conviction on my record and bogus termination and all that. So, I mean, they try to hit you, you know, in every place there is below the belt, they'll hit you. And I don't know. I would love to know exactly if Bentley, you know, if these plans actually went forward to target us somehow, how, you know, what exactly, what form that takes. If it, you might have some thoughts on that, Peter. I mean, the way you read it, that sound like our phones have been tapped or our email has been intercepted or.
I think that goes without saying, Roger. You know, it is not. Ed Snowden showed that anybody with the right clearances can pull up anybody's communications. And I saw a comment on your blog post from someone you had talked to on the phone who then concluded that that call had been monitored because of actions that took place almost immediately after it. So I don't think that's at all out of the prospect of possibility. And, you know, you represent a clear and present danger to the corruption that has continued to fester in Alabama, and they will take steps, you know, and, you know, did they actually in some way influence the eviction and the brutality of it? I don't know. But I think it is something we need to pursue, and I hope it will come out in all the dirty laundry that is being produced in Alabama right now.
Yeah. Well, I can just quickly share that we are determined, as long as we have a breath and a few pennies in our pot, that we're going to pursue civil action related to what would, you know, me being thrown in jail, us being evicted, Carol's arm being broken, the foreclosure on our house, which I have no doubt was a wrongful foreclosure under the law, and I don't have time to probably explain that, but and it would be boring anyway. But you know, the whole point of a foreclosure is to collect a debt, allegedly, that you know that you're behind on your payments. But if it's done for some other reason, an ulterior motive, you might say, it's illegal. And I think that's what was, I think basically our house was just flat stolen out from under us. And that, of everything I've been through, and you, I'm sure you have readers out there that have been through a foreclosure, that was worse than jail. It was worse than everything. Except seeing Carol's, you know, you're seeing your wife brutalized. But, you know, to have your house for 25 years taken from you, when you know it's not justified and you've just gotten out of jail and, you know, I was, I spent 6 days in a psychiatric unit after that. I mean, that's how bad the trauma was. I mean, I could barely move. And so, you know, we're going to try every way we can to get to the bottom of this civilly. And, you know, if somebody's looking at it criminally, that'd be great, but we're not just going to sit on our hands and rely on that. We're going to go after them in other ways too.
Well, Roger, thanks for joining us today. Please gently give Carol a hug for me. Don't hug her around that arm.
Yeah, it has to be gentle, that's for sure.
And I just want to close the loop. The guy who I couldn't remember was former Senator John Ensign of Nevada. And he had an affair with Cynthia Hampton, who had worked on his political action committee and his campaigns, and her husband, Doug, worked as a top staffer in his Washington office. And after the affair became public, they tried to hush it up, and Ensign got caught trying to arrange lobbying jobs for Doug Hampton, which was a violation of the law because they didn't wait the appropriate time limit after he left federal employment. So that's just a thumbnail of the Ensign scandal that, and it shows how these things come and go and just fade from our memories. But I wanted to provide that.
But he was a Republican.
Correct.
Peter?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I remember that name now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Peter, I hope we've enlightened some folks, and I appreciate your interest, and certainly would be glad to keep you updated. It seems like this Bentley story is continuing to evolve, and we'll see what direction it heads next.
Well, and like I do every day, I'll be following it at the Legal Schnauzer blog, Roger.
Okay.
Some people pay an incredible price for being a witness to the truth. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.